Microphone's on? Okay. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Code Enforcement Board hearing of November 12, 2015. And maybe we have a roll call, Madam Secretary.
Mr. DeMar? Mr. Harrington?
Here.
Mr. Jones?
Here.
Ms. Cundick?
Here.
Ms. Times called and said she would not be able to make it today. And Mr. Sino is here.
All right.
So
a motion to excuse Mrs. Himes.
Second.
We have a motion from Mr. Smart and a second from Mr. Harrington. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed. Motion carries. Has everyone had a chance to read the minutes? Okay. Do we have any additions or corrections? All right, motion to approve the minutes. Mr. Smart made motion.
Second.
Second, Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed. Motion carries. Does anyone need to disclose any ex parte communication? No. Good. Okay, we'll move on. Any announcements, Madam Secretary?
Yes, ma'am. We do have one case that is in compliance that's not reflected on
okay.
the agenda, and that is number 16, case number CV11-15-62,
okay.
Gibson Street, compliance 11-12-15. And do you want me to read the other ones that are on the agenda compliance?
Yeah, go ahead. Read them into the record.
Item number 3, case number CEV10-15-55, 828 North Grandview Avenue, is in compliance October 22nd, 2013. Number 9, case number CEV091542. For 120 Azalea Drive, in compliance November 4th, 2015. Number 12, case number CEV11-15-57, 230 Arlington Avenue, in compliance as of November 3rd, 2015.
And then 16, that's it. Okay, good.
Did I have 16?
All right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 16.
Okay.
That's good. We did it. We're done. All right, would the code officers please come forward and be sworn in? Yeah.
So, swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Thank you.
All right, everybody, here's our procedure. We will be calling cases by number and, for the most part, in order as they are listed on the agenda. If there are any attorneys present, we will hear those cases first. When your case is called, please come forward and be sworn in. State your name and address for the record. If you're not the owner of the property, please state your relationship to the owner. Our proceedings are recorded, so please speak into the mic. The board hears from the code officers first, and then you will be given the opportunity to respond. Please direct all responses to the board. Witnesses may also testify following the same procedures. All right. Are there attorneys present? A few. Okay. All right. Three. What case? So it's one and two, right?
And I don't know if we do have here one here for number one, but it's...
Two, anyway. Okay.
Yeah.
Two is here. 16?
It's in compliance.
Are you here for
it? Which one are you here on? Come on up. Which one are you here on? You know, he's here on.
16 is in compliance. Are you sure?
That's number 18.
Oh, that's number 18.
Oh, 18. All right.
And which one are you here for?
13.
Okay. So we got 2, 6, 13, 18.
Well, why don't we just take them in the order?
Yeah, we will just take them in that order then. Let's start with case number 2, CEB12-14-131, Bayshore Bath and Tennis Club, progress report. can come forward. Yeah, come on up.
Yeah. For your record, I'm Attorney Christopher Wickersham. I have the pleasure of representing Bayshore Bath and Tennis Condominium Association, Inc. And with me is Mr. Joe Hiller, who is the engineer on our project. And again, I'm pleased to report that great progress is being made. I spoke with a contractor on the job just last week. He assures me that they're over a month and a half ahead in what they're doing. We're moved now from the lower level garage to the second level garage, which I don't know if that makes us halfway, but we're getting awfully close to being there. And the project is going very well.
Great.
I'm very pleased to report that.
Good news.
There's been a minimal disruption, not only to the tenants, mm-hmm. but also to the neighborhood
mm-hmm.
itself.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, would code officers like to say anything?
Madam Chair, members of the board, Anthony Jackson, attorney for the city of Daytona Beach. The inspector agrees fully that they're making good progress. I believe we're at the stage where the original bi-monthly reports for progress has run, so our recommendation is for us to continue the bi-monthly reports. And it's our desire, we think at this time we may be able to get a compliance date. I don't know if we have able to look forward and see when we are going to be ending.
So let me introduce Mr. Joseph.
Okay. Please step forward. Welcome.
Joseph Hiller.
On this.
I do. At this point, I believe they're looking at a compliance date of around February 15th.
You want to give yourself a little cushion there, so we don't maybe.
Yes, it would. Let's give them another 30 days.
How about a March compliance date?
Why don't we set a we could set a compliance date in January at the January meeting, because that'll be your next progress report, and then you should have a pretty good idea of. Is that satisfactory
yes,
to you?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay, so we don't need to do anything but continue a progress report, right?
We have to make a motion.
A motion.
That is now in January. So it's going to be compliance. Going to impose bond in the January meeting.
No.
We're not setting
a compliance date. At the next progress report, we will set a compliance date.
That's fine.
Yes.
Yes. Motion to amend for a progress report at the January 16th meeting, or whenever, January 6th meeting.
And for determination of a compliance date
at that time. Do I have such a motion?
So moved. Second.
Mr. Smart and Mr. Harrington. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries.
Okay. Thank you.
See you in January. Good. Yeah, we're going to miss you.
Thanksgiving.
All right, let's go to case number 6, which is a new case. No, that is a continued case. So we're on case number 6, CEB 10-15-49, Great Alliances Holding, LTD at 1201 and 1209 Kennedy Road. Case number 6?
We're doing the one with the attorney.
I'm sorry, I wrote down 2, 6, 13, and 18. What was it?
13.
So we're going to hold off on case 13 because the attorney's not present yet?
There's another one. There's a letter asking to be...
All right. Yes. Okay. That we do have a letter asking if we could hold off on that case until towards the end of the meeting, until they get here, because they're coming from Sanford, and they have a hearing.
Yes.
If that's All right, we will hold off on that one. So what? Then we just have 18. Please come forward. Okay. All right. So we're doing case number 18 right now, CEB 11-15-64, Bruce Nelson, trustee, care of Ronald Cutler at 526 Mason Avenue. And respondent is present. Would you introduce yourself, please?
Yes, ma'am. My name is Ronald Cutler, attorney. My co-counsel, Chris Wickersham, had to leave to go to a docket sounding, so I'm taking over.
Okay.
Present with me is Jesse Barnes, one of the owners of 526 Mason Avenue.
Would you like to be sworn in? Are you going to testify, sir? Yeah. Okay, swear him in anyway, in case you want to say something.
Jesse Barnes.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you have to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Jesse Barnes.
Yes, Jesse Barnes. All right. Now, can we hear from Code first, please?
This is a new case.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Yes, Madam Chair, this is before the board for determination of compliance or noncompliance. The staff indicates that the property is in noncompliance and asking for next cutoff for the property to come into compliance.
I want to take a second to look at the pictures.
Could you explain what we're looking at?
Yeah, Madam, mm-hmm. I'm sorry if I can't, Madam Chair, members of the board, I should have mentioned as well that John Stinson is the inspector for this, and John Stinson, I tend to him for any questions you have regarding this case.
Okay.
I apologize.
Good morning, John
Stinson,
code inspector, city. My qualifications are on file. This case came to me as a complaint through the Neighborhood Watch community. This property is located on Mason Avenue, just west of the tracks. The complaints were people living on the property in general in disrepair, people living on the property as well. All these violations or complaints were confirmed by my inspections on the property, to include the latest inspection was done this morning. All the violations listed are still in noncompliance. There is one occupation business tax receipt for a business. It's still under review. So they're also operating business without a license. So all the violations still exist, and city is asking for noncompliance next cutoff.
Mr. Benson, are the people living on the property paying rent?
I don't have the answer to that question.
Well, we need to determine that because they need an occupancy type of license.
I can see those are today's pictures with all the fog.
Yes, ma'am, but as you can tell by this morning's pictures, all the violations are still existing.
Okay. All right, Mr. Cutler?
Yes.
Would you like to respond?
Absolutely.
Okay.
As far as the violations, as of today, we disagree totally. Number one, there is an occupational license by the tenant of the downstairs property, PB Affordable Auto Parts. I have a copy of the paid invoice for the occupational license. As far as the tenant, we have no lease and never intended any lease for the upstairs property for any type of tenant. In the past, people have broken into the property. We have subsequently boarded up that upstairs, of which there is no picture showing, of which we do have pictures of the property being boarded up with a chain across the area, no admittance, and we can show that the property cannot be entered or used as a tenancy.
Can I interrupt you 1 second and ask you to have a police no trespass warrant there?
I don't know.
Okay.
As far as the electrical, we had an electrical contractor obtain a permit, went out and did the repairs. The electrical contractor, the electric previously was turned off. It's now turned on. The water was turned off because the electrical was repaired. The water is turned on. Valid payment and ability to use water and electric. The debris that apparently was there prior to the inspections has all been removed. We have pictures before and after the repairs, as well as removal of debris, which shows quite a bit of difference. And again, I would say what we are missing is a sign. We're required to have a sign, and we're in the process of getting a sign, or the tenant is in the process of getting a sign for the property. So therefore, I do disagree with Mr. Stinson. And again, we have pictures. We have proof of application and payment for the occupational license. And Mr. Barnes can testify to all the work that was done on the property as well.
Okay.
Madam Chair, if I may, I think the question would be whether they were in noncompliance at the time that they were cited. And I believe the answer is that... Staff does want to respond, and if we're giving it to the next cutoff, we'll take care of it. The ARC license is under review at this time.
Okay. So that should be taken care of by next time, the occupational license,
yes,
correct?
Yes. I'd also like to point out one other thing, if I may. May I continue?
Mm-hmm, sure.
I'm being told by the code enforcement officer that the owner of the property is required to obtain an occupational license to rent the property. That is not correct. I was at license and permitting this morning. I spoke with the license and permitting girl, Melissa Carter. She said, what is required is for the tenant to have an occupational license. The landlord is not required to have an occupational license to rent. If that's incorrect, then the license and permitting people need to be advised that they're giving the wrong information. But I personally, as an attorney, have never heard that a landlord is required to have an occupational license to rent.
Mr. Jackson, would you like to add some clarification?
Okay, I'm not sure where the mix-up is. If we're talking landlord-tenant based upon the status of the commercial property, I'm not sure either one of them have a authority to rent. But if we're talking about it from a residential status, the residential property owner is the one that would have to obtain the...
We have no residential property for rent.
Okay. In fact, I thought you indicated you're not renting at all.
I'm sorry?
Residential rental.
We are not renting at all.
Okay, I think that's where this confusion is coming in. We're talking about residential rental.
Mr. Cutler, if you're not renting at all, then you don't need that particular license.
Right.
The occupational license is not only called the occupational license. Called the business tax receipt is needed by the person that's doing the commercial activity on that building.
I understand.
And he does need that.
Yes, we agree, and that's what we have here.
Okay.
So the tenant needs the occupational, the BTR.
The commercial tenant needs the
BTR.
Yes.
All right. Now, there are a few other things on here. Some outside storage, the signage, dilapidated fencing, awning, dilapidated stairs. You want to address those?
Mr. Barnes can testify to that.
Okay.
If I may, can I just touch base on the upstairs apartment being rented out, people living there? I've made many attempts to board the place up. I have a friend with Daytona PD that I had him go by, Kyle Strock. He went by numerous times for me to check during the night because there was suspicion of people living up there. So as far as I don't feel like we're totally in noncompliance because we've tried to make attempts to stop the people from getting in there. I also went down just yesterday and boarded the whole place up with wood. Yet again, he says that it doesn't show the pictures there. Also, the pictures with the stairs there, they just showed there's actually a steel plate, quarter-inch steel plate, that's been welded to the top of that. So as far as the stairs not being in 100% compliance. Also, the fencing, I took pictures myself. The fencing, in my eyes, I mean, I don't see where the problem is. I mean, if they can actually come down and physically show us what the issue with the fencing is, I'll be glad to do what we can to get it right. But I think that's where the confusion lies.
That's what we're looking for, to get it right.
Right. But that's what we've been trying. Okay. I think there's little communication errors.
Okay. Anything else from staff?
Staff's position is still work. They indicate they're working on it. We give them to the next cutoff to get it into compliance.
Okay.
And I don't see anything else.
All right, so you're here for compliance and noncompliance. There are still some things out of compliance, so the chair will entertain a motion to find respondent in noncompliance in order for the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date, which is December 2nd, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 a day. Is there such a motion? All right, motion,
second.
Mr. Smart, second, Mr. Harrington. All in favor say aye. Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries.
Let me ask a question then.
Okay. The case is over, but okay.
I'd like to work with Mr. Stenson to come out and
Fine.
See whatever needs to be corrected. We'll be happy to correct.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll be more than happy to do that.
Very good. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Now, the attorney's still not here for the case number 13. All right, so let's go back to the beginning. Okay, we're going back to the beginning. With case number 1, CEB12-14-130, La Atlantico Condo Association, care of Heart Pro Realty. We're just looking for a progress report.
We're good.
Paul Hart.
Raise your right hand. Please swear or affirm that the testimony about the ride.
I do. Thank you.
Let me hear from staff first, and then you can.
Well, Madam Chair, this is here for progress report, and quite honestly, the position of staff is still making progress, but
mm-hmm.
everything else we've left to hear from the respondent on
okay.
this.
Okay. All right. Go right ahead.
We've completed phase one of the project, which is in the emergency mode this year, and have stabilized the property.
Mm-hmm.
And we've contracted with the contractor to begin phase two January 4th, 2016. We anticipate that in about 60 days. At that point, we will reevaluate and may be in compliance. I can't say that for sure, but we're certainly working towards that. But at the end of that phase, we'll be looking at the remainder of deficiencies that were part of the commissioned report we had in July 14 from the engineer.
Okay.
The board proactively in October initiated another special assessment anticipating that, to fend that, so that at the end of this phase, we will have the opportunity to schedule the remainder of that activity once the contractor is available, which we would assume would be late 16 or early 17. Otherwise, progress is fine. Building's been stabilized. I don't believe there are any outstanding issues at this time.
Late 16. So we're just, does this satisfy staff?
Staff's position is, from the beginning, we've been getting a clear indication that they are working on it. And I think what we've understood at this newest report is that we may be talking about as far as 2017 for completion. I know that there was also some conversation about maybe moving the progress reports to quarterly, and
mm-hmm.
staff doesn't have a problem with any of those things, just based on the history of what they've done in terms of progress. We believe that they have shown good faith in moving forward to get this job done, and so we're willing to let that occur.
Okay. All right. Any comments from the board?
Just a question. What is phase two?
We had an emergency mode. In July of 2014, the board proactively commissioned the engineer to come look at the condition of the property. In the interim, before the report was finished, we had some delaminating of the stucco, which created this shoring up, etc. So this, all of the components of that to stabilize it, considering the phases of the emergency mode, we did 5 bays. We have some more to do, and that's what we've stabilized. So phase two is starting it again. We couldn't do it until the contractor was available, and that's really his first point, and we didn't want to change contractors because of the learning curve. So phase two is completing what was identified in that emergency mode to get us out of that by, we anticipate, early February.
Okay. Everybody, is that it? Chair will entertain a motion to continue providing progress reports quarterly, starting with the January meeting, which would be January 6th. 14th. Until compliance is achieved. Because we're not setting
calendar year 2016, or just
we
don't have a compliance date.
So
we'll just be setting
the
next progress report.
Until it expires.
Yeah. Okay. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
All right, I have a motion, Mr. Jones, second Mr. Smart. All in favor say aye. Like sign opposed. All right, see you in January.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right, case number three is in compliance. Case number four, CEB 10-15-48, the Marone Family Land Trust. Respondent present. Okay. What would staff like to tell us?
Madam Chair, members of the board, this property is before you for imposition of a fine. The property remains in noncompliance. The inspector reports that his communication with the respondent is that he's not financially able and he doesn't have much intention on coming into compliance.
Oh.
The staff is asking for a fine to be imposed. I'm being reminded as well that his status with this property is that he's in foreclosure, which we were able to confirm. It's been in foreclosure for a period of time. It's actually under orders of for tenants to make payment to the court registry at this point. In any sense, the staff position is requesting that a fine be imposed of $100 per day to a maximum of to a maximum of, I don't think that's $100,000, is it?
I thought it was 20 in a
number here.
It's
20. I'm sorry.
Okay.
100 here. Okay.
$100 a day.
You're reading strange notes. $100 per day to a maximum of $20,000.
Yep.
This is okay. Commercial property.
Yes.
Multifamily.
Okay. Is there anyone here in the audience that wants to speak about this case? No. Okay.
If I may, one more thing, Madam Chair. I'm sorry. The inspector for the case is Tom Klieg, and Mr. Garcia would like to address the board concerning this case.
It's well. Fine. Mr. Garcia.
Madam Chair, members of the board, normally we have photographs up.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we're having some technical difficulties with the internet and the server that the pictures are connected in. So that's why we don't have photographs up. So as soon as we can get that up and running, we'll have the photographs up. I just wanted you all to be aware of that.
Okay.
Also members of the audience.
Yeah, good. All right. Yes, normally we do have pictures so you can see. This is a case from last month. So we did see the pictures last month, and
Nothing's changed.
Nothing's changed. And we found him in non-compliance last month. Okay. All right. If any, yeah, there could be some in here. All right. The chair will entertain a motion to impose a fine of $100 per day against the respondent effective today and continue until compliance is achieved or reaches a maximum of $20,000. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Smart.
Second.
Second, Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed. Motion carries. Thank you. All right. Now, case number 5 is still the Marone Family Land Trust, CEB 10-15-56. The first case was the roof, and the second case is the rest of it.
That's correct, Madam Chair, and for the most part, this is all fire safety, the fire inspector's case on the same property. The inspector is David Newell. There are some factual things. The circumstance is the same. It's the same property. But there are some things that I think that Mr. New wants to address so that the board is aware of it. The staff's report is that it's in noncompliance, and the request is a fine of $250 per day to a maximum of $20,000. But I tend to Mr. New to give you factual information.
Okay. Good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the board. At our last meeting, you had required Mr. Maroney to take care of the sprinkler system. He did take care of turning the water on, or the contractor did do that. There was many deficiencies within that inspection. Somebody had done some unlicensed work, but as it relates to having the inspection done and the water turned on, he did, or have that, has that, he did it. The rest of the items you see on this notice of violation are here that's in front of you. None of them have been accomplished at this time, as the same thing as Mr. Kligg and what Mr. Jackson had said. I just wanted to address you regarding your initial request as it relates to the
right.
sprinkler system, so you guys were aware that that kind of was
Good.
Taken care of.
And there's still tenants living there?
Yes, yeah. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. Any other questions from the board?
So the requirement that they have an extinguisher within 75 feet of each unit hasn't been done?
No, sir. As you're looking at this, the fire extinguisher has not been located or not been installed. Numerous smoke detectors still not been installed. Everything that you see here as it relates to my initial, the last month and this month, nothing has been accomplished this time with the exception of that sprinkler system information that I said earlier.
David, we can institute a fine. It's not going to get these people out of there. They're unsafe. Do you have any other suggestions what we can do to, the people in an unsafe building right now? I don't know what else we can do at this point to solve that problem.
Some of that I'm going to refer to Mr. Jackson on. We did have a discussion a little bit about that. When I bring cases to you regarding a matter that needs to be addressed immediately, as we spoke about last time.
Right.
Those things need to be addressed, immediately, and that's why I would ask for a 10-day, 7-day, 5-day, whatever the case may be. What you're seeing here are they items that we would like to see very well corrected as soon as possible for the safety of the tenants within the building. However, I'm going to refer to Mr. Jackson as it relates to those type of
I believe, if I may, the position of the at least fire safety or fire inspection is that those are the types of things that don't necessarily fall in the same area of eminence as the water sprinkler system itself.
Right.
So there's a response system, but all of the other things that would be wise and good and required
right.
aren't there, and that's the things that would leave us all concerned. And,
right.
and of course, any tenant should recognize and see, oh, by the way, I don't have this. Maybe I want to not be here. But
right.
those are not the things that we would
right.
Take the next step.
In some of the pictures, that have, I guess the part has been correct, like Mr. Garcia said, a lot of these items that you're looking at now, that being the sprinkler system, that now is currently up and, it has the right pressure on it. It just has many deficiencies. on it as stated earlier, but this is the same property, multifamily.
What do you mean deficiency? Does that mean it doesn't work?
Regarding the sprinkler system, I'm sorry. Anytime there's an inspection performed, it's performed in accordance with what is NFPA 25 relating to the sprinkler system. When they do that inspection, if there are problems that are not in compliance with the code, there are deficiencies. Does that mean the system is not going to work? No, that's not okay. That's not at all. It just means that it's not 100% as required by code.
Okay.
And that's standard. You know, when these contractors go out there, you know, they'll find deficiencies. We'll be notified, and we take action based upon what those deficiencies could be for that specific property.
Okay. Any other questions?
With all the items in this list here that haven't been done, are there any that are creating unsafe conditions for the people living in?
I think what the answer was, what Tony gave us, was that there's nothing that is of a health, safety, and welfare situation that would be an immediate
right.
attention. All these things obviously would make the place safer if they were done. So I don't want to put this in on the spot.
No, and no. I think you exactly hit it on the head. Is, you know, is it... should there be smoke detectors in there, you know, and some of these other things, the fire extinguishers, as you alluded to earlier, sir. But again, when I bring things to you that I, you know, say it's something that's imminent,
right?
I, you know, that
you'll
way
say
you understand
so.
It's right. It's very important this is done as soon as possible.
Right.
Like I said, do they need to have extinguishers and do they need smoke detectors for the safety of the residents and a requirement of the code? Absolutely. But again, as Mr. Dunn, stick with what Mr. Jackson said also. And what we've discussed.
Well, I think the confusion is that if you don't have these things, if it's not some kind of harm coming to the tenants, why do you have the laws that they have to have these things? Because you're trying to save lives by smoke detectors and fire extinguishers. So I think that kind of makes it confusing to us. And we have these rules about having them for a reason, and that's to protect the people that live there. And then for him to month after month after month just ignore that. So we're doing what we can do. We'll find them. And
what
is
the purpose of this home inspection division we started? Wouldn't they pick up something like this or not? I'm very confused.
You mean the rental property inspection?
Yes, I'm very confused about what that purpose of that is, where it fits in this type of situation. It would seem to me this should be referred to them.
Well, I'm not sure exactly on the rental program how it works. However, I can enforce four units and above. So anything that's a duplex, triplex, my code does not require us to do that. If we get a call, you know, we'll go out there and do what we can. However, those are usually referred to the rental program.
Right, the 1 to 4. Yeah.
Okay.
So, all right. What we have in front of us is a recommendation to impose a fine of $250 per day up to $20,000. So the chair will entertain a motion to impose a fine of $250 per day against the respondent effective today, November 12th. And continue until compliance is achieved or reaches a maximum of $20,000. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Mr. Harrington made the motion. Mr. Smart made the second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed. Motion carries. Okay, move on to, David, this is yours too again, case number 6, CEB 10-15-49, Great Alliances Holding.
That's
1201-1209 Kennedy Road. Is the respondent present? No. Wasn't here last time either. All right.
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the board. This case is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector reports, again, as you indicated, Mr. Newell is the inspector, and he reports that there's a new owner out, and he's requesting noncompliance. Next cutoff, and I will attend to Mr. Newell so he can explain what changes, if anything.
Okay.
So we have a new owner then on this property.
We have been unable to verify that. That's just what has been told. I was able to meet with the contractor that does their alarm system and the new property managers who are the ones that had stated to me that there's new owners. But we have been unable to verify that unless something has changed. We've been unable to verify that. So currently at the moment, it's our position to go ahead. They have stated that they are going to take care of this. And what you're seeing
here. Who stated that?
Stated that
they were going to take care of it.
That was a new property management company.
All right, so non-compliance.
But they already found in non-compliance.
But there's new owners, so it's they've stated that they are going to take care of this situation. So
but they're not here to state that. They told you that.
Yes, ma'am.
The problem is whenever you have new owners, the statute requires us to give a new owner's report. You have to notify the new owners and give an opportunity to cure.
If there is a new owner.
If there is.
I'm sorry.
What are we supposed to rule on here? These people don't own it anymore and we don't have the new owners.
Right.
All we can do is take no action. And then if it comes back up with the same owners next time, then we're going to fine them.
Okay. I think what we need to do is to make a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow respondent to come into compliance by December 2nd or be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day until compliance is achieved. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
All right. Motion, Mr. Smart.
But I have a question. We're just making an assumption there's a new owner.
Correct.
Can I help you just a little bit? I think Mr. Newell's indication is that regardless of who owns it, he's willing to give them to the next cutoff.
Okay.
And we'll
That's
get
fine.
Some clarification
okay.
of who the owner is.
That's fine.
That is correct.
Okay. I get that. So we have a motion by Mr. Smart. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Jones. All in favor, say aye.
Like sign opposed,
that's one. So
that's
motion carries
carry 3-1.
3-1.
No. It's not on lien review.
But I thought.
Mm-mm. No, it's not on lien review. Right. We're good. Okay. All right. So that's case number 6.
That's correct. 4 have to vote.
All right. Case number 7, which is kind of like case number 6, CEB 10-15-50, Great Alliances Holding at 1229 Kennedy. That is not the same property, a different property?
There are 3 properties that we were under the same owner. We're just looking for the same thing that we had in number 6 regarding the reason why the properties are different is the previous one of 1201 and 1209 were under one parcel. So that's why they were combined. This specific one's under different parcels. So.
Okay.
But, yep, same thing.
But same scenario.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. The chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow respondent until December 2nd to come into compliance or be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved. Second.
Motion, Mr. Smart. Second, Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed. So motion carries 3-1. All right, case number 8, CEB 0615-24, the Hindu Cultural Association of Daytona Beach at 148 and 150 Madison Avenue. We are looking for a progress report today. Is the respondent here? Good morning. Please state your name and address for the record, and then we'll hear from the staff first, and then you can say what you want, but just
go ahead and state your name and I'll swear you in. I'm Mike Patel. And what?
Can you be testifying, sir?
Yes, Kirit Patel.
K-I-R-I-T.
Okay.
Can you raise your right hand, please? Please only swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Yes. Can you just say out loud?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. From staff, Mr. Jackson?
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the board. This case is before you for progress report. The staff indicates that they are making progress. However, the respondent does want to address a couple of issues related to the compliance date. Because of the holidays, they want to extend that just a little for an additional month. The staff doesn't have any problem with that one-month extension if that's the request.
Okay.
So instead of bringing this back in December, they want us to bring it back in January?
Well, we have a preset compliance date of for January,
right.
2016.
They want to come back in February?
They want the compliance date moved to February, is my understanding.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Would you like to tell us what's going on?
We have already, this report is already here. We already started our project. Almost we have 50-60% is done. Due to Cummings holiday, we want some additional days to finish this, whatever the leftover or works.
That's a staff recommendation.
Staff has no objection. We're fine with the 1 month extension.
All right, but we will hear a progress report in December and January, so continue progress.
Our request would be a progress report in January, just to assure that will be done for February.
And, Amy, what's the date of the February cutoff? All right, the chair will entertain a motion to continue progress report, the next one being due on the 6th of January 2016, and a compliance date of, and amend the order to have a compliance date of February 3rd, 2016.
The meeting date for January is the 14th.
I'm sorry. I can't. Okay. Okay.
Compliance February 3rd.
Okay. Meeting date January 14th for another progress report, and then February 3rd to come into compliance.
Okay.
Is there such a motion?
Mm-hmm.
Motion from Mr. Smart. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second from Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed. Motion carries. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
See you in January. Okay. Case number 8-9 is in compliance. So we'll start on our new cases. Case number 10, CEB 11-15-65, Chamisa Holdings and Hotel Del Mar. And the address is 209 South Ridgewood Avenue. Respondent present. Please come forward and be sworn in.
Hi. Dwayne McDuffie.
Raise your
right
hand, please. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony
you're
about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Are you the owner of the property, sir?
No, ma'am. I'm the contractor that was hired to complete all the deficiencies on the building.
Okay, and you have permission from the owner to come testify.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, let us hear from staff, and then we'll give you a chance to respond.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this case is before you for a determination of compliance or noncompliance. As you can see, there's numerous facts that you want to hear from the inspector. The inspector is David Newell. His recommendation or his request right now is for a finding of noncompliance. And he feels they can be in compliance by next cutoff. And I'll attend to Mr. New for the board.
Okay.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this was a case that was brought to us by a complaint. There were work being done inside without permits. As you can see, there's some numerous items in here. A lot of them were created based upon those renovations or changes to be done. This is a property that's being done now. Basically, that I did notice this morning that permits were pulled for the sprinkler system, the alarm system, and the building permit has all been applied for. The only one that's still under review is the alarm system itself. They do have a system there. It's just there's a lot of problems with the system, and it's not up currently, but I just wanted to advise you there is a fire alarm system that is active on the site and a sprinkler system that is active on the site. So based on what you see here, definitely believe next cutoff, non-compliance next cutoff for this property.
Okay, thank you. Mr. McDuffie.
Yes, as he stated before, we should be in compliance at next cutoff. We do presently have the building permit to do the repairs on that end of it. We are awaiting right now an engineer to certify the plans for the alarm system. So that is the only thing that is holding us up from achieving the permit for that.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Any questions from the board?
Yes. Are the premises currently occupied by people?
Yes, sir, they are.
Yeah.
This is the street here, isn't it?
It is out there.
Okay. Any other questions? Chair will entertain a motion to find respondent in noncompliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date of December 12th or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
Madam Chair, to clarify,
December 2nd. Get my dates all screwed up here.
Second.
All right. Motion, Mr. Smart. Second, Mr. Harrington. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed. Motion carries. Thank you. See you next time. All right. We are now on case number 11, CEB 11-15-66, Perryman Properties at 700 Fentress. The respondent present could come forward, please, and be sworn in.
David Perryman.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Right, we'll hear from staff, and then we'll give you a chance to respond, sir.
Madam Chair, this comes before you for determination of compliance or noncompliance. The inspector is David Newell. The recommendation from Mr. Newell is that we find him in noncompliance, and the request is that he be found in noncompliance and he be given until next cutoff to come into compliance. And I turn to Mr. Newell for any questions.
Okay.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is like we discussed earlier on some other properties. They've had an inspection performed. They've had a more updated inspection that was performed by their local contractor. They have fixed some of the items for that. The one that's remaining has to get an alarm company involved as it relates to tying some of that system together. They are currently working to get that accomplished. So Mr. Perryman and myself have been in contact. He's made significant steps to get this accomplished and taken care of. So we believe it can be taken care of here really, really soon.
Good. All right. Mr. Perryman, would you like to say anything?
No, ma'am. Just the only thing I would like to say is that I need a determination from Mr. Newell as to whether or not there is a requirement for a monitoring system.
I'm sure he'll be.
We have a burglar alarm.
I'm sure that he'll be able to answer that for you. We can't answer that, but I'm sure
I understand.
He can. Okay.
That's all I need.
Okay. All right. You can get with him afterwards or. All right.
Okay.
Good. Chair will entertain a motion to find respondent noncompliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date, which is December 2nd, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Smart, second by Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Okay. Thank you. Case number 12 is in compliance. Case number 13.
Still outside talking.
Oh, they're okay. They're not in here yet. Oh, that's the one we're putting off for a minute.
I don't know if
she made it. They're outside.
All right. Well, we'll just move on to case number 14.
Yeah.
If you. And then we'll go back to that. We'll give them a second to do whatever they're doing out there. Yeah, it's no big deal. All right. Okay, so we'll skip to case number 14, CEB 11-15-59, Roy Doveberg at 836 North Oleander.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Roy Doveberg.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
You can just pull that microphone up.
Okay, Mr. Doveberg, we're going to hear from staff first, and then we'll hear from you. Thank you.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for determination of compliance or noncompliance. The inspector is Inspector Klieg. The request right now is that you make a finding of noncompliance. That his testimony is that the property is in noncompliance, and that you give until next cutoff for him to come into compliance. There is a attorney letter, I guess, in the file there, and so
it says in the letter that he's not representing him in this matter. Just to want to keep us informed.
Understand?
Right.
Yeah, I saw it. I just want to make sure y'all knew
have that.
What's there.
Mr. Klieg, well, go ahead.
And as you said, I turn to Mr. Klieg for any questions. Mr. Klieg.
Officer Klieg, my credentials are on file. This is a case that started back in February with a fire. Mr. Doveberg was trying to work with our building department. He ran into some insurance questions. As of recently, I got a letter from one of his attorneys, I think, in Tampa. And he's got a deposition set for December 18th, and so what I'm asking for is a finding of noncompliance and then a progress report, because I think he's going to have some lengthy legal maybe issues with the insurance company. So it's secured right now, the building is, except for the upper floors, but what we're looking for is noncompliance and like a progress report monthly to see how he's progressing.
In December or January, when do you want to
December, please.
All right, Mr. Doveberg.
Yes, December 18th, I'll be going to an EUO, which is examination under oath, and at that time it's like a deposition, and then my lawyer, the Stockholm Law Group, will be fighting it out with the insurance company, and I don't know what the results are going to be, but they've been dragging their feet. I was supposed to have a determination, and they balked about not having all the water bills. For what reason, I don't know. So this was 2 days prior to the last deposition, so it seems like they're dragging their feet. Now, the law group entered a 60-day notice that they have to comply and get the ball rolling, and if they don't, they have to pay all lawyers' fees, which are the 30% from the Stockholm Law Group and 10% from the public adjuster. So that's 40% right there. So I guess will you be using cardboard instead of wood? I don't know. But they're taking an awful lot. But if they don't make the 60 days, then they pay the lawyer's fees. And so I'm just waiting. I would love for it to get settled as soon as possible, because this is a better time of year to be doing all this work as opposed to the heat of the summer.
When was the fire?
February 1st. It was Super Bowl night. I thought it was fireworks. I thought the neighbor's team had won. And I was in a hospital bed. I had heart surgery. And I could have used I had plenty of fire extinguishers. I had like 6 fire extinguishers throughout the back house. I'm right across from the garden center. And I don't know if you noticed my house, but all the tarps are down right now. But the place is secured. And I have gates on both, and they're padlocked. So I haven't had any problems with anybody coming, not one person coming on the property. So that's not an issue, but I still want to keep it closed just for curiosity seekers, just wanting to come on the property. And I've been told to leave everything the way it is, though I've tried to clear paths so when any inspectors or anybody who needs to come through there can go through there. And I did that last night, so you don't have to tiptoe through the crap, you know. But the lath came down, but a lot of the wood looks good. Now on my computer I have pictures of the house inside and out. I don't know.
I don't think that we need to see that right now.
You're not going to be doing testimonials on TV for the fire insurance industry soon.
It looks like to me that they're not going. He's not going to be able to tell us anything at the next meeting.
No.
Any idea when you're going to be able to give us some answers?
After December 18th, and then they have some time. I don't know whether it's 6 weeks, but if they have to make a decision, or else we go to court from there.
So we.
That's why I have. That's
does
why I
have this tie
that.
Our hands because it's in litigation?
It doesn't tie our hands,
no,
but I think
no,
we need.
Well,
I would like to see us give consideration for this problem that everybody has, the city and he, and everybody, because of the ongoing. I mean, you need the money. In order to do this, and they won't make the settlement until you get through all this wonderful.
That is not the issue before us. The issue.
Well, the issue is he's in non-compliance, but we can give him a certain.
I need some parameters. So our hand. I mean, go ahead, Mr. Jackson, please.
Madam Chair, here's the position of the city on this, and. The request for a progress report would be for January, with the expectation that he'll have the information of what at least his attorney, and they would have some idea of where they're going with this case following depositions. And for whatever we may have said that may have sounded like this was indefinite, that's not the intent. We've had this experience before as a board and with the magistrate with properties that are under insurance litigation that could go on for very, very, very long periods of time. And there's ways that they can preserve evidence without leaving the building to the detriment of the citizens for years. So it's approaching a year. And so we'd like in January to start talking about when it can be remedied. So our request is that we get a progress report in January and then and start talking about when we can get this remedied from that point forward.
Okay. So the chair will does anybody have more questions? The chair will entertain a motion to find the respondent in noncompliance and order a progress report at the next meeting. No, and January 14th meeting, and allow, well, then we'll just leave it at that, correct? We're not asking for a compliance date
for
at this
point.
For a progress report or and determination of a compliance date.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really chomping at the bit to get, I mean, I see the damage because the fire started in the back of the house. It was an electric vehicle with lithium batteries from the front of the house. It doesn't look bad. That's what I have the pictures of.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right, now we're going to restate this. Chair will entertain a motion to find the respondent noncompliance and order a progress report at the January 14th meeting and also set a compliance date at that meeting or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine.
Just leave that out.
Leave that out. Okay. Is there such a motion? Mr. Jones?
Read the motion again, please.
Yes, please restate the motion.
Motion to find the respondent in noncompliance, order of progress report for the January 14th, 2016 meeting, and determine a compliance date at that meeting.
Good.
All right, that's it.
Okay.
All right, do we a motion? Second. All right, motion from Mr. Harrington to the restated motion. Second.
Second.
Second, Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. The motion carries. See you in January.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Case number 15. CEB 11-15-60, Laura E. Fisher, 611 Tarragona Way. Respondent is present. Please come forward. State your name, please.
Caitlin Harkin.
All right, and what is your relationship to the owner?
I am the tenant of that property. Laura Fisher is my landlord.
Okay. And she has given you permission to speak?
Yes, she
okay.
lives in Maryland.
Okay. All right, we'll hear from staff and then you can talk.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this property is before you for determination of compliance and noncompliance. The staff reports that the property is was in violation at the time that they were cited. They have since come into compliance, and we're asking for a finding of compliance, a finding of noncompliance, noncompliance.
All right, and what the fine? All right.
Fine.
Okay. The chair will entertain a motion. Do you want to say something?
No.
Okay.
It was basically removal of the
truck. So the truck is gone.
It's gone.
Okay. The chair will entertain a motion to find the respondent previously in noncompliance but currently in compliance and for any future violation be returned to a subsequent meeting for a consideration of a fine of up to $5,000 per occurrence and case be dismissed. There is such a motion.
Second.
All right, motion Mr. Smart, second Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, that was case 15. Now we can go to case. Case 16 was found in compliance. Case 17, CEB 11-15-63, Cyril Javarek. At 1023 Cadillac Drive. Is the respondent present?
Yep.
Good. Good morning. Please state your name and address for the record and be sworn in.
Cyril Javorek.
Okay.
Raise
your hand, please, sir. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony about the ride is the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay. We'll hear from staff and then we'll let you speak.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for determination of compliance or noncompliance. The inspector is John Stinson. He reports that the property remains in noncompliance, and he asks that you give the respondent to the next cutoff to come into compliance. I turn to Mr. Stinson for the factual information regarding the status.
Okay, just give me a second to look at these pictures. Mr. Stinson.
Good morning. John Stinson, code inspector. My qualifications are on file with the city. As of this morning, the violations that remain are the screens still need to be replaced. Some appliances need to be either repaired or replaced. There are interior surfaces that need to be addressed. Smoke detectors, the interior doors, and the kitchen plumbing fixtures. So basically everything on the inside needs to be addressed. The exterior doors have been replaced. As you can tell in the pictures, they're brand new. So everything that's outstanding can be achieved by the next cutoff.
All right, what would you like to tell us?
Well, you said it all, actually. I mean, the smoke detectors are there, and the appliances, I don't know which one he refers to. The doors inside we have replaced, and I don't know what else. Interior surfaces, I don't know what you mean by that.
Well, you can get with him afterwards and figure out what it is that he means. I'm sure he'll be happy to tell you that. But you think you can be in compliance by the next cutoff date. Is this your personal residence?
No.
No.
It's a rental.
It's a rental. Is it currently rented?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Any questions from the board? Chair will entertain a motion to find respondent in noncompliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date, December 2nd, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
Second.
Motion, Mr. Smart. Second, Mr. Harrington. All in favor say aye. Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. All right.
Before we start on this.
Okay.
Take a break.
We're going to take a two-minute break right now. We still have case number 18, right? No, we did that. We did.
Just have one.
Just 13. Okay. We're going to start your case in a couple of minutes. We're going to have a little break so people can come in.
Yeah.
Order, but.
Well, if we're waiting, let's wait.
All right. We can start without the building inspector.
He's on his way.
He's on his way. All right. So now we are going to hear case number 13, CEB 11-15-58, Daytona Beach Club Condo Association at 800 North Atlantic. And we have the lawyers present. Please come forward, and we'll hear from staff first, and then we'll give you a chance to respond and let us know what's going on.
Thank you.
And then we have pictures. You can sit down if you want to. We'll
Good members of the board, this is Scott Kiernan. I represent the corporation that is the Condominium Association.
All right. Could you spell your last name?
K-I-E-R-N-A-N. And we also have with us Christina Barisha. She's with the engineer's office. The engineer, Mr. Lou Peros, had a conflict this morning.
Engineer, and you are?
Marlene Kirtland. I represent several of the owners within the association. It's K-I-R-T-L-A-N-D.
Kirtland. Okay. All right.
And can you explain? You represent who?
The condominium.
And you represent?
The tenants.
The tenants, not
well,
the owners.
Well, they're not tenants. The owners.
Owners within the association.
Owners. Okay.
Oh,
got it.
Okay.
Okay. Excuse me? What? Are we ready to proceed?
Yes, we're ready to proceed.
Okay. Yes, I think you'll need to be sworn in.
Mm-hmm. Christina Barisha. E as in boy, E-R-I-S-H-A.
All right.
Madam Chair, members of the board, we're here on property at 800 North Atlantic Avenue. It's before you for determination of compliance or noncompliance. I would expect that there's no big dispute as to the status in terms of being in noncompliance. The staff sees this as a major project. There's an engineering report that's been prepared. There are life safety issues, and The position of staff is that you make a finding of noncompliance, and this would be one where we would want the periodic progress reports. We probably want to start with one in the first 30 days just so we can kind of get all, everyone up on footing where we're going with this, and then we'll can schedule them subsequent based on what's going to be happening to remedy the problems. I think the photos are up, and I think anyone with the naked eye could see the types of things that's been described, rusty rebar, exposed rebar, concerns with support beams, and those types of things. The inspector is Tom Klieg, also our building official. Mike Garrett has been involved and has at least been out to the property and has reviewed the inspection, the engineering report. My desire is to have Mr. Garrett be able to address any questions concerning that, since that's his area of expertise. I guess for the moment he's not here, but it may be well explained and you may be well satisfied from the representative from the engineering firm. But with all that being said, the inspector is Tom Klieg, and if you have any questions, I turn to Mr. Klieg for anything factual regarding the case.
Mr. Klieg.
Officer Klieg, my credentials are on file. This is a complaint-driven case. Came in as an anonymous complaint that Spalding was coming off, concrete Spalding, fell and hit in the underground parking garage. And I proceeded to talk to the management company, the manager, the president, vice president of the corporation, the association. And what we have going on is they have a permit in place back in July for the work to be done. So half the process that I required is going forward. And basically what I'm looking for is some sort of start date or some sort of progress, because they're still having some internal issues. I guess they'll discuss with you later, but we're just looking for a monthly, you know, progress report, because as the meeting of yesterday, there the engineer was concerned about some certain sections of the underground parking and support beams, and I think the engineer's assistant could brief you a little bit more about that.
Okay. Well, what order do we want to start?
Well,
Mr. Kiernan, you want to start.
Members of the board, I can confirm that the board has a signed contract. The permit's been pulled. There's a notice of commencement. The contractor's even tried to be aggressive. He's filed a claim of lien against the corporation, against the association, to proceed, because it's cost him money to have to rework all of his crew to get started on the job. The problem is there is a fight, for lack of a better word, between the directors. There's a stalemate now, even though the contract was approved by the board, that it could perhaps be done for a much less a cheaper price. And so with the bank that's issuing the loan is also requiring that there be a special assessment to fund the loan, and that special assessment has not been passed by the board of directors. And so until that happens, you can't fund the project and pay the contractor. And now we have, I understand yesterday there was a meeting with the city over the concern with the latest engineering report that says that basically there is life safety issues and that it will only get worse. And now with the condition of the columns, they have to be reshored up from the ground all the way to the roof, and that the building, he even uses the term, is could be subject to collapse. Now, when he was asked about that, it was, is that in 6 hours or 6 months? And he said he couldn't tell. So obviously it's very imminent that the project start, because, and it can't start showing up these columns until also people will be displaced from their units. But there's also the political factor within the association. Is the board going to go forward with this contract, or are they going to do a different contract? We've even filed a lawsuit in circuit court to say, is there a fiduciary responsibility to move forward? I mean, as the corporation's lawyer, the Condominium Act requires them to repair the common elements. And I'm trying to push them to resolve their differences to get this thing repaired, because that's a tantamount duty under Florida Condominium Act.
Could you help me? sure. out here. I mean, it's not a question of whether work needs to be done or not. The association, who is the association?
Yeah, sure. The association is a condominium association in the state of Florida. It's governed under the Condominium Act. It's a corporation. It's the Condominium Association's Incorporated.
Who's so the stockholders are the owners?
Right. It operates through a board of directors.
It has a board of directors.
Correct.
But the stockholders are the entire ownership.
Right. The owners are actually members, just like shareholders in Coca-Cola.
So the other attorney is representing
a group of the owners, like ad hoc.
Not all of the owners, but a group of the owners.
Just a group of the owners, right.
And is this, what has this got to do with this board deciding that you need to get some work done?
Well, obviously, they probably feel that, you know, they don't want the building shut down in certain portions because there's going to be a new election of the new board next month, and they're going to take some action at that time, which I certainly hope that they do. But, you know, right now, as it exists, there is no date set for the repairs to be made. So that's all I can tell
so
you.
I mean, we're sitting up here and we're supposed to decide you're supposed to do this work, and you're telling us you're having a civil war, can't get along with each other, and need to be spanked.
Well, actually, we're not up here. What we're here to decide is whether they're in compliance or whether
they're
non-compliance.
That's what I'm
saying.
And
that's a pretty simple issue to me when you look at the pictures. Now, we'll have to figure out how much time we want to give them and everything else, but I'm not going to take in, I don't personally want to take into consideration too many political, quote-unquote, factors.
I understand.
So and then we're going to go back to the engineering reports and building, okay?
Good morning, Marlene Kirtland, on behalf of the owners, or some of the owners within the association.
How many owners are in the building, do we know? No, not here. Ashok, you can't. You have to come up if you want to. Yeah, come in, come up and be sworn in because we can't. Number one, we can't hear you, and number two, it needs to be on the record. All right, go ahead. Go. Just state your name and address.
Cooper.
Can you speak into the mic?
Maureen Cooper, Unit 316.
Okay.
And Ms. Kirtland represents.
Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
All right, now, how many people have units in the condo?
117.
All right, and how many are you representing?
Approximately 70.
70, okay. All right, thank you very much. All right, go ahead. Sorry to interrupt you. I just want to get an idea.
On behalf of my clients who are involved in this, it's not their position that the work does not have to be complied with or done. It's their position that the contract that was entered into by the board of directors was not entered into based on their fiduciary duty because the contract was entered into prior to them having the money to pay for it. The contract is approximately $1 million, and they don't have the money to pay for that. The current board of directors, as Mr. Curran said, is split on voting for the special assessment. The only way the special assessment passes is if a majority of the board votes for it. There is an election in December in which some of my clients are running for the board, and they actually have done their due diligence and have gone out and got bids for other contractors to do the work, which are about half the cost of what the current contract is. I was just informed this morning that the contractor has actually placed the lien on the property, so that might.
Did the previous board enter into a contract, sign, execute a contract?
Yes.
Your position is that because of the fact that the title wasn't more funded, it's null and void? Is that what you're trying to say?
That will be our position, yes.
Okay.
So that's not our issue, but
that's not our issue.
We just want it done.
Yep. I would really like to hear about the engineering reports and the structural things. And
who is this person? Is this the one of the contractors?
Yeah. Could you come up and Christine Barisha? Is that your name? Barry?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mr. Parris couldn't be here today to speak with you guys, but he did meet with Mr. Garrett, Mr. Klig yesterday, and the contractor who the permit is technically with at this time.
Right.
Have they received the report?
So you work with Lou.
Yes.
And
with who?
Lou Perros.
Lou Perros.
And there's currently a contract right now with With you guys?
Yes.
Signed by the previous, I guess the current board directors?
Yes.
Okay. No, we need to get with two issues we got to deal with. None,
yeah,
none
okay.
The
yeah, absolutely.
Who funds the SIF problem?
Mr. Garrett, could you come up, please, and testify?
Good morning, board. Pardon my
tardiness
this morning. I think it's full moon or something here today. So, I already did earlier.
Did you?
I did.
Yeah, he was here earlier. The question I have is if you would, I can see in the pictures the structural deficiencies that we're talking about. If you could indicate to the board how dangerous these things are and how important it is to get them fixed as soon as possible, and if you have any concerns about those things, if you'll share them.
Well, sure, and I'll try to elaborate as much as I can. First of all, speaking factually, the city permits and licensing division on 8/14/2015 received an application for renovations and construction renovation for 800 North Atlantic. The document was approved on 8/20, and it was issued on 8/21. As of this morning at 8:30, there's been no inspections on the job. So I want to clarify that there's an active and open permit for the job. And that permit would expire on 2/17/15 if there's been no activity.
16, right?
Excuse me, yes, 16.
Yeah, okay.
And again, the code gives you 180 days to commence construction. So
okay.
As far as the property, I haven't been to the property at all. We're relying on the information submitted from a structural engineer. And yesterday, Mr. Clegg and I we couldn't come to a conclusion, the level of urgency here. There's been no technical reports done. There's been, basically the opinion of a professional structural engineer, which is, of course, very valid in my mind. But as far as any backup documentation, any, invasive inspection work, any x-rays of the building, those type of things, none of that's been provided to the city.
Okay.
So you can't tell us at this
right.
point if there's anything of an immediate danger at this point, immediate problem.
I can't. And again, reading through the engineer's report yesterday, there was nothing in there, and Mr. Clegg will back me up on this. I asked. I didn't see the word imminent anywhere. I've seen this recommended, these type of things take place.
Okay.
Now, of course, this didn't happen overnight.
But absolutely.
This has been going on for a while.
We just have to know if we have to deal with that issue. Looks like we don't.
Okay.
Now it's an non-compliance issue.
Right. All right. Would you like to come back up, Mr. Kiernan?
It's in the association's interest to get the work done, but I don't think it. I think that it should be stated that the structural engineer's report does say that.
I have not had a chance.
Okay.
To
I'll just read from those. I just want to go on record as reading in the second paragraph. The collapse can be localized such as a piece of concrete falling on the occupants, which can result in injury or death, or an entire section of the building collapsing, which can be devastating. So that's the engineer's report as of the 5th of November. So I understand that there's been questions. Well, have you x-rayed the building? Has there been destructive testing? Mr. Peros has probably done more balcony restorations than I've had sandwiches. And when he sees the naked eye of this building, he can tell you concrete restoration work is way past due. So I hope that the new board gets it going. I would ask that you wait the 30 days at least, or just 30 days until the new board can meet and hopefully enact a special assessment. I've had the manager even put a special assessment notice in the annual meeting package in the hopes that something can be done.
When is the annual meeting?
December 12th, sir.
That's April meeting.
But Mr. Perro says if the work is to be done as he recommends with shoring up the columns, those units will have to be evacuated, too. They won't be able to stay there. And I just want full disclosure on the record. That's the only reason I mentioned
that. Yeah, that's fine.
All right.
So there is the potential that a piece of concrete can fall off and kill somebody.
I got a picture of it right now.
Be anything
I
more
can answer the question, yes.
Anything more devastating than that?
I've heard horror stories in other countries, not any in Florida, where, you know, everything in construction rests on the columns. And if you look at the columns, they're buckling, they're cracking. It's time for the work to get going. And it's my hope that it'll get going the next 30 days and nothing will happen. But I have a picture of a large chunk of concrete that has fallen.
Well, I think it's our responsibility to find them in non-compliance.
Absolutely.
At least start a fine if they...
Knowing that the board is going to meet next month and is going to take some action, we would request that you at least abate a fine for 30 days and give them a chance to take some action.
You'll have 30 days.
The board doesn't fine them today.
Right. We're not here. We're okay. Just here today to either find you in compliance or non-compliance and then set up a few parameters around that to come into compliance.
Understood.
Mr. Jackson.
Madam Chair, based on what's been said up to this point, the staff is of the position that it's what would be appropriate would be a January progress report, which is something we've done with. Let me say this. There's no position of the staff that says this is something that should be, that anyone should be waiting to do. I think even Mr. Garrett, his point is that it's not imminent in the sense that it requires him to take special action. But nevertheless, it is clearly, as anyone can see, a dangerous situation, and it needs to be remedied. The hope and desire of staff is that whatever they figure out through their meetings in December or whenever they are, that in January they can come back, give us a progress report of what they're going to do, how they're going to do it, and that we can get some definitive timeline to start working on getting this thing taken care of. So that's the desire for our next meeting. We would request that you give them bring them back on a progress report in January with a timeline of when they plan to get this stuff taken care of.
Okay. All right, I'll just make a motion. The chair will entertain a motion to find the respondent in noncompliance and order a progress report for the January 14th, 2016 meeting, and at that time to give us a date certain of when things are going to start.
A timeline.
Mm-hmm. Of the work when the work that needs to be done will be started.
Hopefully it will have been started by then, either through the action of the board or court order if necessary. But are you saying that we have to have a progress report presented to this board on the January 14th?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Because that will give you time then to have your meetings and get all of this straightened out.
Just for clarification, Madam Chair, and what the staff is asking for is a timeline. That
right.
Something looking stages or whatever phases or whatever
right.
manner in which they plan to get this started.
Right.
So we're looking for an overall project plan
right.
for this project. And
That's what will be in the progress report. That's what we're asking to have in the progress report.
And during this period of time, of course, still staying in contact and keeping the inspector apprised of
right.
you know, whatever comes up
okay.
over time.
All right. Okay. So I think where we are is to the a motion to find the respondent in noncompliance and order a progress report for the January 14th meeting, at which time that which will include a timeline of the work to be done
and completed.
All right, motion from Mr. Jones, second from Mr. Smart. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, approved. That motion approved.
Thank you.
Okay. That's okay. That's all right. Now that concludes the hearing of our cases. So what I'd like to do, just for a second, is talk about any miscellaneous business that we have. Does anyone want to bring anything up? I want to bring something up.
Someone else here? Yes, I think.
All right, Mr. Garcia, you go ahead and address this. You know what I'm talking about.
Several things.
Okay.
One is I was just informed by the city manager's office that they have one applicant in, and they will be bringing that applicant on the December 2nd agenda before the commission.
Good. Okay, well, so that takes care of that.
We'll be looking for a new code board member to join.
Okay.
I believe so.
No, there are no readings.
No, it's not a reading.
Right, yeah, they just appoint. Yeah.
Just appoint.
Yeah,
so
okay.
I think, and I didn't mean to interrupt you, Madam Chair, but
no,
I think
that's fine.
That was what
you knew what
gonna,
I, where
you
I was
going to ask
that's
for.
Fine.
I think it takes
we have
care
two
of
openings. I put out the word for one. Maybe we should.
We have one coming in, and hopefully we'll start working on 2016 on getting the second position filled.
Okay.
The other thing is I'd like to introduce everyone to our new neighborhood services inspector. This is Mr. Luis Albello. He comes to us from the city of DeBary. He also formerly worked in North Miami Beach, Miami Gardens. I'm sorry, Miami Gardens. He was the housing inspector down there. So I'd like to introduce him to the board.
Welcome aboard. Glad to have you.
Going to be doing both the rental and also working proactively doing code enforcement.
Good.
So
great.
This is Mr. Albello. We are currently in hopefully looking at two possible candidates who we're going to bring in for a second interview for later on in December due to the holidays and constraints of time frame. So hopefully we'll have that position filled by then.
Okay, good. Terrific. Thank you. And one other thing I wanted to address was if anybody saw the Channel 9 news report last night about the city of Daytona Beach not collecting their liens on code liens to the tune of $1.9 million, and that they also discussed Orlando and another city or two, but their liens were less. So I just wanted to, but there was no explanation to anyone about the way liens are collected or that not every lien can be collected, and I just wanted to maybe go over a few things so if we get questions about stuff like that, that we have a good basis to answer.
If I recall, we went through this about 3 or 4 years ago. And obviously it hasn't changed much.
Right.
I mean, I think if there's situations out there where there are those kinds of places that don't have it, not homestead, not secured by a mortgage,
right,
not under foreclosure,
right,
and that are worth going after, I don't know which. I think there aren't going to be many of them. I think that's what we need to know, so we can tell people.
Right.
I mean, the chairman can tell people. There is a very, very few, and those few are going after.
Right.
If any.
And there are also problems with going after some of these code liens, because then that means the city takes over the property, and that's all they get is the property. And all the problems that came with the property to start with, and maybe the city is going to knock it down, and maybe the city is going to repair it, and is that the business that we, I mean, this is not a decision for us to make, but is that what we want the city to do with our tax money, is to buy, you know, have all these properties and get into basically the real estate business. So I don't know the answer to that question.
Unless you have a CRA.
Well, yeah, or a CRA. But anyway, those are political questions. But I do think it needs to be clarified a little bit that we're just not collecting fines for no reason. So, anything else?
Well, the people recently would know that. I mean, we're having, of course, some board. We're here to impose a fine that somebody's not.
Well, it's not up to us. It's just the code enforcement in general. It's not up to us to collect the fine, but it's up to the city to collect the fine. But it's not the way it was kind of presented, was that nobody's doing anything about it.
Well, that's
That's the news.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, but it was news.
real question is, are fines doing the job that you want to do? And it's not for us to decide, but that just needs to be discussed someday or another. Is that the only way you can impose people complying?
I think statewide, the answer to your question is yes. Statewide, the compliance rate in code enforcement cases is very high, even higher than the courts. So that's not an issue. The question is, there's nothing out there that will embarrass the court that we've let somebody hang around for years and years.
Right.
And we've done nothing about it.
Right.
Even though it's their lien. And in regard to the city, we opposed it.
Right.
So that's what I think the concern is. By the way, there are leases. They come up, it's a report that says there are all these properties that have no liens, no mortgage.
Right.
There are nice properties, and the city's done nothing about it.
Right.
If we have those, here I think it's a relatively few that we have that's really that.
Mm-hmm.
And those few, if they're not all of those other things that you mentioned, they're tied up with multiple owners or something else that just makes them not attractive for or cost effective.
Right, exactly.
So I'm...
If I may.
I didn't see the report, so I can't try and gauge it on a report.
Well, it was very short, but it was worth thinking about.
Is there a mechanism, and it may not be, and we don't want to put more work on any of you guys, but is there a mechanism that there are, if there anything like this that falls in that hole that doesn't have all these problems to it that you could go after?
Yeah, I believe...
You just said you just went after what you said.
Yeah, I believe we have a mechanism.
Okay.
Ultimately, we have a point where it's reviewed by staff, and staff says, okay, we've done everything. Here's where we are. We have the fines. They've maxed. And now let's assess it and determine cost-effectively whether it's beneficial for the city
to
go forward with foreclosure.
Yeah.
And so we have that in place. We've had such evaluations maybe only two or three times, maybe four.
Mm-hmm.
But we've had other things that came in that made it effective that didn't require our liens, like they were also on sufficient tax deficient, and they were ready for tax lien or other issues arose that made that resolved it, that didn't affect us moving forward with the lien. So there's remedies, and sometimes the simple remedy of the ability, because we have in place the ability to move forward with administrative. I don't want to call it administrative demolition, but condemnation.
Right.
A lot of times, just remedying the problem satisfies the primary need for the city. So the necessity to enforce the lien and take the naked property is not usually a good move. So that may be the answer. That many of them are resolved through our administrative demolition process or administrative condemnation.
Some of them are, yeah. Okay. Mr. Garcia.
In reference to yesterday's news expose, so to speak, or whatever they want to call it, again, you know, it's news, so we have to take it for what it is because they didn't have all the facts and everything else. It was pretty much, you know, they asked the mayor a question and so forth and so on, and again, without getting into everything, you know, it is what it is. Like you said, there's different variables involved. There are some that the layman citizen does not realize or is not fully aware of. I'm more than happy to attend meetings, as you well know, and if clarification needs to be done, I'll clarify it the best that I can. Or if not, I can always refer it to Tony and get a legal opinion if it's a question that I can't get. So, with that being said, I mean, it's nothing that the board
has
done wrong.
It's just, you know, it was interesting because that's what we do.
It's just that, of course, they throw it out there, code enforcement, you know.
Right.
And unfortunately, we happen to be the ones that get the brunt of everything. If something's wrong, we'll give it to code enforcement. Uh-huh. And they don't realize that there are other steps that have to be taken or there are certain things that, unfortunately, we cannot do that are beyond our purview. So with that, Madam Chair, this young lady here would like to address on a miscellaneous item.
Fine. Come up.
Hi, Maureen Cooper again.
One second. Mr. Jones?
What miscellaneous item are we talking about?
I just want to thank you.
very much for moving us to back of the agenda.
I'm going to talk about a case of controversy.
No. I'm on the Code Enforcement Board in Crescent City, Florida.
Oh, okay.
Tiny little town. You have much nicer chairs, but I really appreciate it. And he's been wonderful. She did the letter.
Good.
Thank
Great.
You so very much.
Thank
we
you.
Really
okay.
We're trying.
We don't want to talk about a case of people not being
there. I know.
Mr. Jones is right.
Yeah.
Jones is always right.
I just think that,
go ahead.
An open-ended discussion from Channel 9 or Channel 8, I don't think we need to be going into
the Well, I agree. Okay.
With all this respect, you're doing a great job. These people know what they're doing. It's what Army rumors is like. We call them latrine rumors. Who cares what the news people say? If we have any problem, talk to these very competent people and end the discussion.
Okay.
My
okay. All right. I agree partially. All right. Meeting adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.